We're teaching about grace tonight, and I'm not going to be able to get through probably all of this, but I want to at least get through the first part. What is grace? What is grace? Go to Genesis chapter 6, if you would. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. I'm going to give you three sections of the Bible, three sections of verses. We want to understand what grace is. All right, Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to pray, and we'll jump into this message. Father, I pray that you would meet with us tonight. I pray that now as we open up your word, you would speak to us. You'd help us to understand this amazing, amazing concept that you've called grace in your word. And I know we're not going to be able to totally understand it. I don't know that any of us ever will. But help us to get a beginning understanding of it. And enough maybe just to really appreciate who you are and what you've done for us. I pray that you meet with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 6, you got the story of the flood. And you've got, well, verse number 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same began mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now stop with me and go back about 4,000 years in time, where I believe the flood happened. You've got God, He's created a perfect race on the earth. He created Adam, and then He created Eve from Adam, and they were perfect. No sin, no problems. It was a perfect earth, and it looks totally different than it does today. The flood has totally transformed our earth. The Bible, I believe, leads us to believe that there was maybe one big continent and one big sea. And everything has changed since then. The Garden of Eden, for example, it had four rivers not flowing into it, but flowing out of it. And that just doesn't happen. You don't see a place on the earth where four rivers just start somewhere and go from that place. It's different than that. The rain falls in the mountains and the rivers might join to a place. It was different, a completely different earth. And then man sinned. And the Bible says death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. There's one chapter in the Bible, in my footnotes, it's called the reign of death. And it says Adam died and Enoch died and Seth died and all Canaan died. And all these men, they died. That is because of sin. Well, the Bible says that these men, they were living a long time, many of them up to almost 1,000 years. You can do a lot of wrong in 1,000 years. You can also do a lot of right in 1,000 years. You can get very smart in almost 1,000 years. Could you imagine the knowledge that some of these men had? The Bible says, though, that the wickedness increased on the earth. The word is the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, I can't put myself in God's position, but could you imagine how he's feeling? He created this race, and he called it the human race, to fellowship with so that they would praise him, so that he could have someone to fellowship with. And that human race sinned against him, turned against him, and now they are doing great wickedness. And they're very, I imagine, very violent and they're very probably much like some of the worst things that we would see nowadays. And they were just very wicked. The wickedness was great. And the Bible says every imagination, now you got to get this phrase, every imagination of their heart was only evil continually. Man had become wicked. So what did God do? God said in verse number 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man who I've created from the face of the earth. I'm just going to get rid of them. Estimates vary so greatly about how many people were on the earth, and it's always just a guess. Some people said there were many, many people because people lived such a long time, and some people have said there may have been almost as many people as now. I don't know, and I think it'd probably just be a guess based on whatever scientific model that they might draw up, but there's a lot of people on this earth. There's all this wickedness, and God says, I'm going to destroy them. And then he describes who he's going to destroy. Verse 7, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I changed my mind about having man on this earth. I'm repenting. I'm changing. I'm going to destroy this wicked human race. But then verse 8 happens. It's the subject of our message tonight. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What an amazing statement this is. Grace, sometimes we get a distorted definition or idea of grace. Sometimes we get the idea that grace is a word that means that as a Christian, I can live any way I want to because I've got grace. I can sin if I want to, or I can choose to serve God if I want to, because either way, I'm under grace. I'm not under the law anymore. There's not all these rules that I have to keep, that I'm under grace. Well, I don't believe that's the definition of grace that the Bible puts forth. Grace is like a diamond with many facets, many sides, and each side reflects a special way that God helps us to grow in our Christian life. Think about this. We're saved by grace. We'll come back to Noah in just a minute. We're saved by grace. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we know that we're saved by grace. But that's not all that grace is for. Grace is not just for salvation. Grace is for the entirety of our Christian life. We are saved by grace and we grow by grace. We become more Christ-like by grace. Let's go back to Noah for just a moment. People are wicked. All around him, people are wicked. But then the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Does that mean that when God looked down, Noah was the only sinless man on this world? No. We know that Noah was a sinful man. If nothing else, sin passed upon all men, death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. Everybody has sinned. We know that. We know that Noah was a sinful man just because he was a descendant of Adam. He had a sin nature. He was a sinful man. After the flood, we have one example of an area where he sinned and he was drunk in his tent. And we see this example. So we know he had a sin nature. He was a sinful man. So when God looked down and God saw Noah, he didn't see a perfect man and say, I'm going to save that man because he deserves it. He looked down. I say he looked down just because that's a way that I understand God. He's in heaven and we're here, but he was there, he looked, and he saw Noah. And the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That means that Noah was a good man. We see that in the Scripture, but he wasn't perfect. He was a sinner. He didn't, and here's what I want you to get. He didn't deserve to be saved from judgment. In God's eyes, every one of us is a sinner. And it doesn't matter how many sins we do. You could do one sin, or you could do a bunch of sins. I'm a sinner. That one verse gets me. For whoremongers and adulterers and murderers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So whether it's murder or whether it's telling a lie, in God's eyes it's a sin. So Noah had sinned. God didn't save Noah because he was so good. God saved Noah because God was so good. And this is grace. Grace is God looking down and seeing Noah and saying, I'm going to give him grace. I believe he chose a righteous man. I believe he chose a man who wanted to do right. He chose a man who was obedient. I mean, think about it. He told Noah, I'm going to send something you've never heard of before called rain, and I want you to build something you've never heard of before called a boat. And I'm going to send all the animals to you, and you're going to get them all in there, and I want you to have enough food collected to take care of all those animals. And God knew that Noah would obey that. He found a good man, but he didn't find a perfect man. Now, let's move forward here, because I want you to understand grace. The judgment of the worldwide flood is an example of judgment that is to come. Now, I want you to look at Romans chapter 3. I'm going to probably get through 2 points of this tonight, but Romans chapter 3, we're talking about the same thing, just different people. We're not talking about the flood. We're talking about judgment and grace. God looked down in Noah's day and he saw that all these people were wicked and the thoughts of their heart were only, the imaginations of their heart were only evil continually. And God said, I'm going to bring judgment and I'm going to destroy this earth. But Noah found grace. Even as a sinful man, even in the midst of a sinful world, God gave grace. But now when we go to Romans chapter 3, you've got a very similar story, but the players have changed. Romans chapter 3 describes the human race. I'm going to give you several verses that I want you to see. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible teaches us that, well, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So the Bible teaches us that no one is righteous. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 teaches us that no flesh can be justified by works. I cannot get to the point where I am good enough where I can say to God, God, I deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to be with you. I deserve fellowship with you. None of us can get to that point. No flesh can be justified by the law or in his sight by works. Romans 3, 23, we're talking about the human race now. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 teaches us that every person is a sinner. Now, do you see the comparison here? In Noah's day, every person, wickedness abounded in the thoughts of every heart. The imagination of every heart was only evil continually. Now, Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you see how those are just so very similar? But the other similar thing is the word grace that begins to come up in the book of Romans. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:24 is extremely important because the only way to be saved is to be justified freely by God's grace through the payment of Jesus Christ. In Noah's day, God looked down and saw a wicked world, and He saw a man who was still a sinner, but said, I'm going to have grace on that man, and I'm going to offer my grace to that man, God's riches at Christ's expense. I'm going to offer forgiveness. I'm going to offer freedom from the death of this flood that's going to come, and I'm going to give him a way out. And then in Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And no flesh shall be justified in His sight. But then God says in verse number 24, being justified freely by His grace. It's the same story. It's God looking down, seeing sinful man and saying, you don't deserve it. You should be destroyed with everybody else because you are a sinful person. Judgment will come. Hell will happen. The lake of fire is there. But I want to give you something so that you don't have to go there, and that is grace. One more place. It's in Ephesians because it ties it all together. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to turn there myself. Here's what we need to understand. We don't deserve anything good from God. Can you get that tonight? We don't deserve anything good from God. Sometimes you hear this phrase, why do bad things happen to good people? You know the problem with that statement is that there is no good people. We are all sinners. So the statement, I want you to understand, we don't deserve anything good from God. Ephesians 2:7, I want to read that together, and then we'll help you understand just how this all fits together. Grace is such an amazing thing. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We don't deserve anything good from God. Look at, I'll read it to you. Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. No matter who you are, no matter if you're the preacher, no matter who you are, we have nothing about us that God would look at us and say, oh, there's one that deserves heaven. There's one that deserves me. Ephesians 2, let's look at that quick Bible study through here. We're going to be done very quickly. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 5 teach us that we were dead in our sins. Look at verse number 2. Ephesians 2, verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Wait a minute. I didn't think I was that bad, but yes, we walked according to the course of this world. Did you know we walked according to the prince of the power of the air? We followed the devil. That's what it's saying. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Before we were saved, that's the direction we were going. Ephesians 2:2 teaches us that we followed the world and the devil. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. The conversation doesn't mean what you say in this case, although that's included. It means the way you live your life. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh. Look how bad we are, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is where we are. This is where God's about to look down and say, this group of people, they need something they don't have on their own. They need grace. Ephesians 2, verse 3, we just read, teaches us that we are naturally sinful and selfish. So when you get to Ephesians 2, verses 5 through 8, they contradict human reason, and they teach that God wants to show His kindness to us, not because of our goodness, but because of His goodness. Look at Ephesians 2, 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And then you've got this phrase, by grace ye are saved. Wait a minute. I don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve to be saved. Remember, no one's righteous. No flesh can be justified by works. Every person's a sinner. We're dead in our sins. We followed the world and the devil. We're naturally sinful and selfish and lustful. But God said, by grace are you saved. I've got something to give you, God says, and that is grace, and that grace will save you. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Of all the things we don't deserve is for God to look down at this sinful person who is so given to sin and selfishness and lust, and him, and God to say, look, I don't want you to stay where you are. I want to raise you up with me, and as the Bible says, to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want you with me. This is amazing. Just like Noah, living in a sinful world full of wickedness and being a sinner himself, God said, I'm going to save you out of that. I'm going to rescue out of that, not because of you, but because I have grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Just like that. And in verse number 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Not only do we not deserve to have God's mercy on us, we ought to be judged like everybody else. God is not only saying, I'm not going to judge you, but now he's saying, I want you to come sit with me in heavenly places, and I want to show you my exceeding riches, and I want to show you my kindness. Did you catch that? The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. God doesn't need to be kind to us. He doesn't deserve to be. We don't deserve him to be kind to us. But God says, because of my grace, I'm going to be kind to you. I'm going to show you my love. And not only am I not going to judge you, I'm not going to punish you, but I want you with me. And then verse 8, we're familiar with this. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And then not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then the verse that most of us know to go with it, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, the answer to the question, what is grace? Grace is God's unmerited or undeserved favor. And it took us 20 minutes to get one blank. I'm not going to try for another one tonight. This is an incredible statement. Grace. Grace is not me being able to just live any way I want to, because I'm not under the law anymore. I don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. Grace is what God has done for me, even though I'm as bad as I am, and what God wants to do for me in the future, even though I'm as bad as I am. Grace is an amazing thing. I guess the point of this message, because it is a shorter message tonight, first of all, understand just a little bit more about what grace is. Second, to be able to create in our hearts a gratefulness for the grace of God, because He didn't have to show it. He didn't have to. Did God have to spare Noah? No. He could have destroyed Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives. He could have started all over if he wanted to. But God showed grace. Did God have to save us? Did God have to send His Son to die on the cross? Did He have to send Him to go through that torture on the... No, no. But He chose to. And that is grace. Father, I pray that You would use this message tonight to help us understand grace just a bit more. Lord, You've done amazing things for us. And we deserve none of it. Not only have You saved us from eternity in hell, but You've given us a wonderful life filled with Your love. And Lord, that's because of Your grace. And Lord, tonight we simply want to thank You for that. We want to allow that truth to sink into our hearts and maybe even drive us to a new level of worship, just understanding that You did so much for us, and You didn't have to, but You chose to. You did it because of Your grace.